In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this St. Matthew Apostle and Evangelist Day is that just read. Time. Have you ever reflected upon its different moves? Think, for example, how slowly time can pass when the opposing team is challenging your team on the football field. And if your team is narrowly ahead, those last 2 or 3 minutes seem to stretch into an infinite number of plays as the opponents march towards the goal. Time can be very slow. Or it can also be very fast, as when a seminarian is asked to translate a passage from Greek and told to make it both literal and idiomatic. Some of the faculty can recall a far-off epoch when there was a lots of song about time. Indeed, one of the major ballads of the late 60s and early 70s said, "The times, they are a-changing." And underneath that ballad was a prideful claim that while parents in previous generations had frittered away their time on the false and frivolous, this generation would be different. It would inaugurate what was called the Age of Aquarius, with understanding, love, and peace prevailing. In fact, more than slowness or quickness, that generation asserted its ability to change the very character and nature of time, filling it with what would be good and true and abiding. In fact, several decades have demonstrated beyond reasonable doubt that that generation, like so many others in human history, gave us in their calendar just more of the same. More death. Now unborn children could be killed legally. More heartache. Now marriage could be ended easily. Children and family abandoned. More of the same, more change, more decay, more destruction. Indeed, as a ballad from the latter part of that epoch said, "Time, time, time, look what's become of me as I look around at my possibilities." Time had disappointed. You, dear seminarians, live in a culture with more of the same. The decay and the death are present and public in many ways. And indeed, the falsehood perpetuated even by those in power who are commissioned to uphold the truth before God is everywhere to be seen. It's more of the same. Well, Matthew lived in time like ours. He was a part of that Roman system and machinery that empowered tax collectors to take whatever they could get their hands on if they only fulfilled the allotted quota that the government suggested. And the soldiers who enforced that law could, by Roman law, end the life of their newborn children if they found them flawed. But then there was a moment for Matthew when there was a presence of different time. Not fast or slow, but different time, because it was filled with God. It was filled with the presence of God's Son, who came and said, "Follow me, akolothai moi." And from that moment on, the character of Matthew's life and of his time was changed qualitatively, definitively, forever. He was in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, who had invited this tax collector, this sinner, to experience time unlike any he had known before. To follow me was Matthew's call to define himself by the presence and the life of the living God there in the flesh. Now and tomorrow and the next day in Matthew's life, despite all his stumbling, despite his miscues, was marked by God's infinite grace. Not a generic grace in the heavens, but a real grace present in the living one who breathed and walked with Matthew. The one in whom there was no decay. The one in whom there was no sin. Rather, the one in whom there was innocence and a time that God would pronounce true life. Jesus of Nazareth would place this sinner, Matthew, into time that would go all the way back to creation and forward to the consummation. And you, seminarians, vicarage supervisors, guests, by God's grace, are now in that time. And it's different, radically, qualitatively different than the time that is moving our culture this day. Such time is a pure gift. It began for you in your baptism, when you were joined not to a principle, but to Jesus Christ's death in his resurrection. It is nourished and defined in the living voice of Christ through his called apostles and prophets. The Word of God is not a dead, but a breathing, living, and defining Word addressed to us so that our life might be in the Savior's life. Further, day after day, that life conquers your death and mine by Christ's holy absolution. This is where time changes when he says, "Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven." And when he announces to those who question Matthew's candidacy, "I came to save the lost, not the righteous." And in this place, we are privileged to define and nurture that time by coming to his table and experiencing afresh his true and real presence in his very body and blood. What a gift every breath you have is. What a gift every heartbeat. Because every breath and every heartbeat is now in Christ. Indeed, that is the beauty of the church's liturgical year. It defines us, along with Matthew, not around our own piety, not around our own superstitions and ambitions, and certainly not around the time of this culture that is set like a clock that rings out a litany of death. No, Christ's time, the church's time, is the life of the living one. And what a great joy to be called to hold up the living one, to be defined by him, to live in him, to nurture, be nurtured by him as Matthew was, and then to announce him. Real time in a world that has no time at all. We are alive because we are not attached to an acculturated Christ who is trivialized by even our most pious imaginings. No, the Christ that causes our knees to buckle is the one who we bow before in wonder and awe, beholding the sublime mystery of his cross and of his holy body and blood being sacrificed for us. And we confess with the creeds and the church from the apostolic period to now that that mystery is consummated in the resurrection, and that even now that life goes on at the Father's right hand, defining our every day. When you're formed by such life, there are those out there who aren't encouraged, just as the Pharisees weren't. For you bring in your hands and on your lips what the world is threatened by. It topples ego trips and power assaults. You're not, frankly, very fashionable in any epoch. But you, by God's grace, are God's mission to every epoch. And particularly in our day, the world is seeking, and I pray that it is true, several commentaries have said the young people today are tired of the New Age movement. They're tired of the trendy and the transitory. They want that which can endure and be eternal and be real. And that is only in Christ. And what a gift it is to receive his call, follow me. For with that call, he gives the gifts that guarantee that calling. God grants you real time in this place, in Christ. And then may we as his people hold that true, eternal, and real life up for all of this dying world. God grant it to us. For Jesus' sake, amen.